Hello, and welcome to the Respiro podcast. I'm Joe Bishop, and this is our third podcast, and I'm still getting the hang of doing this, sitting here at my desk in my study, talking into a microphone, looking out the window, instead of the way I'm used to speaking in front of a group or a class or in a church. Don't have distractions there like I just had, and had to stop and start again, watching our neighborhood coyote, who I can't help but think of as Wiley E., showing my age there, chase the neighbor's cat. So that was a little distracting. The cat got away, by the way, climbed a fence and got away from the coyote. But podcasting's a different kind of a deal. And today, I want to do something a little different than we've done in our first two podcasts, where we looked at some encounters that people had with Jesus to show how Jesus is the source of life. But today, in this podcast, I want to talk about talking. How do we use our words well to foster connection and friendship and intimacy and fun? How do we do that in a world where words are being used so poorly? In a world of texting and tweeting, and those mediums for communication certainly aren't bad in and of themselves, but whatever, whether it's in person or online digital communication, to use our words with care and intention. To do what the Bible describes as speaking the truth in love. That brilliant phrase from the New Testament. And how do we do that? Most of us are certainly better at one or the other, at either speaking the truth or being loving as we speak, or we're not good at either. But speaking the truth, which means honesty, which means being willing to say the hard thing, which means our yes is our yes and our no is no. But being able to do that in love, with kindness, with patience, without irritation or contempt, that is not easy. That does not come naturally. And yet it is crucial to healthy communication. It describes what healthy communication looks like. And today I want to talk about a specific skill, a specific way that we can speak the truth in love, kind of a foundational part of that. And this crucial practice and skill I'm just going to call making direct requests. And I want to explain that and illustrate it and talk about why it's so important, why it's hard. So making direct requests is when we are able to put into words what's on our heart, what we want, what we wish for. And to be able to do that clearly and openly and honestly and directly. Most people communicate indirectly the vast majority of the time. We use looks or sighs or body language, or we drop hints, and we really are locked into patterns of communicating that are indirect. If you really pay attention to how people are communicating, so much of it is indirect. And that can lead to confusion and misunderstanding and trying to figure out what the other person really means, what they really want. So to be able in a marriage, in a family, in really any relationship, to be able to make direct requests is vital to healthy communication and leads to life, leads to growth. It's not easy, though. This is not just, by the way, this is not just a tip, this is a tool for how to communicate better. This is fundamentally at the heart of healthy communication. A tip is something like this. You know that the first 4 minutes when you have been apart, whatever happens in your communication in the first 4 minutes when you're back together again, sets the tone for the whole rest of this time that you're going to be together, whether that's waking up in the morning, whether that's coming home from work. If you haven't been together, like in a marriage, if you've been apart for a chunk of time and then you come back together, the way you start, the way you approach each other, the way you greet each other, sets the tone then for the next hours, can be hours of time ahead. So think about that. Think about starting well every time you greet each other or are reconnecting. Now that's a tip, okay? And that's important. I think that can really help. But making direct requests is more than just a kind of a helpful tip to think about. It is a pattern of communication that is vitally, vitally important. And to be able to do it well forces us to deal with what's going on inside of us. It forces us to understand why we do what we do and kind of deal with our below the waterline stuff. And that's why this is also important for spiritual transformation, just for personal growth. And so can lead to a lot of growth. And this is one of the reasons why we talk about a lot in Respero and in our counseling and our teaching. If you've heard me teach, you've heard me talk about making direct requests probably many times. But I want to, now let me explain a little bit more and illustrate it. So making a direct request, again, is when I say what I want with clarity and honesty. And I have to make sure that it's a request, not a demand. The difference is that if you don't do what I want, then I punish you. That's a demand. That's pressure. So a direct request is when we put it out there and then we were willing to hear the other person's, you know, what they want. So let me give you some examples from my counseling practice of what I'm talking about. How to make direct requests. What that would look like, especially around difficult conversations. And I want to run through four examples. Two of them from a long time ago in my counseling practice. Two of them more recent. And when I share examples of situations from counseling, don't worry if you ever talk to me in that setting. I'll get your permission to. Before I would ever use it in a podcast or a class or a teaching in a church, something like that. And of course, I'm going to share these examples anonymously. They're real. So the first one is a situation with a young couple that happened many years ago, but I think it speaks to a lot of these issues and is a good illustration. A couple came and was talking to me, and they were telling me about a pretty big fight they'd had just recently. And what had happened was the wife, this couple had been married, I think, less than 2 years, and she was experiencing some disappointment around just how much they were connecting, how much time they were spending together, how much, conversation they were having. And on this particular day, she was really hoping that they would, that evening, have, you know, dinner together without watching the TV, and then maybe take a walk after dinner and just talk, just have at least 20, you know, 30 minutes of conversation just about their day. It didn't have to be about intense or anything, really important, but just to talk, just to connect. And then she was really hoping that they could make love that night, because it felt like that hadn't happened in a while. But she never said that. She never asked for that. She never put her desires into words. And so that night, what happened was, of course, they didn't connect in the way that she wanted to. And turns out it was like later in the evening, about 11 o'clock at night, her husband's laying on the sofa watching SportsCenter, I think it was. And she comes out of the bedroom in her lingerie, stomps across the room, turns off the TV, stomps back, slams the bedroom door, And guess what? That led to a big fight. Now, the husband is not off the hook here, being that clueless. But we talked about, okay, what would it be like for her to just put into words, just make a direct request, and to be able to say to her husband, honey, I really wish that we could talk tonight. Could we please, you know, after dinner, just take a walk or just sit and talk? And I'd love to hear about your day. And we got some things coming up that it would be good to talk through. Could we please do that? And then could we make love tonight? I would really enjoy that. But she never did anything close to that. And it's like I was talking a foreign language, because for her to do that would be really, really difficult. It would bring up a lot of fears. What if it didn't go well? What if he just kind of didn't take her seriously? Or what if he just said, no, I don't want to do that? That would be painful and would feel like rejection to her. And so she just had never learned how to ask for what she wanted. She didn't grow up in a home where she saw that modeled very well. So the idea of just being able to make clear, open, honest, direct requests about what she wished for, what she wanted, was not only something that she wasn't used to doing, it was scary for her. But that's an example of what I'm talking about. When there's something that you really want, ask for it. Just make a direct request. Just put it into words. Don't hope that the other person will somehow figure it out or get it or know what you want. Another example, again, with a young couple who had been married for not a real long time, were telling me about a situation where they were struggling around just some issues around the house, specifically about how the husband was taking care of his clothes. And so the wife, it really bugged the wife when he would just like take off his clothes and leave them in a pile on the floor. And kind of leave, you know, his clothes and other stuff too, scattered around the house. And she liked things a little more picked up and neat. But she, the way she handled that was with very indirectly with looks and size. And she would pick up like a pair of pants on the bedroom floor and hold them at arm's length and give him just a disgusted look and eye roll, and then fling his pants into the closet or on the dirty clothes pile and never say a word. And so we talked about, well, what would it look like to make direct requests around that, to be able to say, hey, hon, I would really appreciate it if you could, when you change clothes or when you're done wearing something, please don't leave them just laying on the floor or laying on the bed. Would you please be willing to put them in the dirty clothes pile or hang them back up? Is that because that would mean a lot to me? That's what I wish for. But she just had not. This particular young woman had not, again, grown up in a family where that was done very well. And so she used indirect and a lot of contemptuous body language and tone of voice to try to communicate and get her husband to do things the way that she wanted him to do them. And so what happened with them, I think, also is what happens a lot. People will come back and we talk about how to make direct requests and doing that and just paying attention to that and being aware of that. And so she did that. We practiced that together in my presence. I had them practice that. And just because, you know, one person makes a direct request and does that really well doesn't mean the other person has to then automatically do exactly whatever the request is. They can come back with their own what they want. But in this particular case, so the wife did a good job of making the direct request to the husband, and he responded. He said, yes, I'm willing to do that. And he did pretty well. He paid attention and he took better care of his clothes, listened to what his wife wanted for a while. For like a few weeks, and then started reverting And then we had another conversation, and the wife said, "Well, I tried that direct request thing, and that didn't work. So now what?" And I've heard that, more than a few times, that this idea of it doesn't work. And one of the things that I believe about this whole idea of learning to communicate with direct requests is it's not about getting the other person to do what you want. It's not a means of control or manipulation. It's a healthy way to communicate. And so it's not about working in one sense, as it is about just being able to communicate well. But the real issue going on in a situation like that one is that the husband said yes and then didn't follow through on it, which is a certainly an important issue. And letting your yes be yes is one of the things that Jesus talked about in little things and in big things. But we'll probably address that at greater length in a different podcast. And what we talked about was, well, okay, come back and restate your direct request. "Hey, hon, this is really important to me, and it was great that you changed, that you really did what I'd asked for a few weeks. But now it feels like you're slipping back, and so I just want to say again, that meant a lot to me. Would you please be willing to do this permanently? Or is there a way that we can figure out something that's really going to work better for you? Is there a way to make it easier? I'm certainly willing to do that." And so this, "Well, it doesn't work" question is one that I get a lot. And I would say go back and restate it and be patient and make sure you're listening. But then if it's like there's this repeating pattern where you make a direct request, the other person says yes, but then doesn't follow through on it, then we're into a kind of a different issue, a different level, a level of disrespect or level of conflict avoidance that really requires some significant work being done on the part of, both people, but especially the person who's not following through on what they say that they will do. And so it can lead to uncovering some of the deeper issues that are going on in a relationship or in a person's heart, and hopefully can lead to real growth there. And it's hard to do that well. Let me just give you one illustration. I wasn't planning on doing this, but my wife, Kathy, is great at being patient and kind when and sticking with healthy communication, even when I mess up. So here's an illustration from our marriage. This was a few years ago, but she had a situation where the car that she usually drives, it was a minivan, she had a problem with it in the parking lot one day, and the car wouldn't start. And so she was able to get a hold of me, and I was able to come pretty quickly and figure out what was going on, get the car started, and everything was okay. But she said, "Hey, you know what? I don't like that feeling, and there'd be a lot of times when, I couldn't get you right away. So could you please make sure that this gets fixed, whatever's going on, whether it's the battery or something else, can you make sure that this gets fixed and gets taken care of so that this doesn't happen to me again?" And I said, "Yeah," or I don't really remember my tone of voice, or but I said yes, that I would do that. Well, guess what? I didn't. I didn't do anything about it. And of course, the same thing happened again. What do you know? The car didn't fix itself. And she was upset. She was disappointed and upset because the second time, she kind of got stranded and I wasn't able to get there very quickly. And she did a great job of expressing her disappointment and her confusion and just how hard it was that that happened, that I had, she had done a great job of communicating, making direct requests. I had agreed to it, but then I hadn't followed through. And I had to come to grips with, well, why didn't I? Why did I put my wife in a situation of just real distress, being stuck and stranded with a car problem, when I could have addressed it and even said that I would? And I mean, I know the reasons. I don't like dealing with car stuff. I don't feel very competent or comfortable with that. I would rather just avoid it. I know why that is. I mean, I'm reasonably smart enough to figure out what's going on with cars, and I've learned a lot over the years, but I'm not drawn to it. I'm not drawn to mechanical things. And probably the main reason is my dad didn't teach me. He got very quickly irritable and frustrated when I was a kid in situations like that. And so it wasn't just something that felt good to me. I can still remember a time when I was a boy, and I'm down in the garage with my dad, just wanting to, you know, be with him. And he's under the car, working on the car, and he asked me if I could hand him a certain kind of wrench. And I didn't know what it was. Wasn't sure what wrench it was. And I gave him the wrong one. And he got all frustrated and irritated and got out from underneath the car and just kind of then, you know, was frustrated with me. And that didn't feel good. My dad was a great dad and a good man and a good father. And I'm not just saying that in so many ways. He loved me unconditionally and affirmed me. This was one aspect, though, where I just, you know, didn't feel very, very good. He certainly wasn't, you know, good in many situations at making direct requests. So car stuff has been hard for me, and therefore I didn't follow through with CAF, with the promise that I'd made. But that got me thinking and was, I think, a good point of growth for me, and I apologized. And I offer it as an illustration of how to graciously respond when it feels like you make direct requests and they're not working. And also as an illustration of how when people are doing this, when a couple or in a family, there's a commitment to communicating well, to making direct requests, it forces issues to come to the surface and hopefully for us to grow. Let me give you two other examples of just making direct requests and when we don't do it well, why it gets us in trouble. These are a couple more recent illustrations. So I'm talking with a couple, we'll call them Wilbur and Gertrude, and they're in their second marriage and in their early 50s and getting along fairly well, but just hitting some walls with communication. And particularly, they were telling me about a pretty big fight they had recently around driving issues. Driving just seemed to be something that they were having a hard time really navigating their differences and communicating well around. So, and the issue was that the husband feels like the wife just drives too fast. So Wilbur would get frustrated with Gertrude and didn't like riding with her while she's driving, because he just was always tense and worried about she's driving too fast. And then he wouldn't communicate that very well at all. He would like lean over from the passenger seat and look at the, you know, speedometer and just kind of like shake his head or do a lot of other indirect ways of communicating. And she would get really frustrated with him about, in particular, the issue was him not signaling when he was changing lanes. And that just frustrated her. And then they had an incident where they almost got in an accident because another car, he was changing lanes. They almost got hit. And then she just went off, and you know, kind of I told you so, and you're so stubborn, and basically said, you know, a lot of things that were not kind and were not helpful. And so they come talk to me. And so we practiced what would it look like to just be able to make a direct request about that kind of thing and to have a good, healthy back and forth conversation. So for Wilbur to say to Gertrude, "Hey, hon, I want to be able to ride in the car with you without making you feel nervous. I want to do it without being, without, you know, creating problems for us. But would you please be willing to drive more slowly when, well, actually, I think he said, would you please be willing to drive more slowly, whether I'm in the car or not? Especially when I'm in the car, but I'm concerned about your safety, so would you be willing to just drive more slowly?" And she agreed to that. As a matter of fact, they got very specific, and she agreed to drive no more than 5 miles an hour over the speed limit at any time, and that she would really, really make a commitment to do that. And so they practiced that conversation, the making a direct request and then listening and then say, what are you willing to do? And then she made a direct request to him. Would you please use your turn signal when you're changing lanes? Not just when you're making a turn, but when you're changing lanes. I know you don't like that. I know that that would be a choice on your part that wouldn't come easily for you. You don't think that's necessary, but for my sake, would you please be willing to do that? And he agreed to it. And they had a good back and forth conversation. Both of them expressing some, you know, some reasons about why that's hard for them, but they agreed to do it. And then we talked about how that was going in subsequent, you know, counseling conversations, and they had their ups and downs with it, but they were doing a good job of just coming back to restating the direct requests, apologizing when they didn't do it well or when they got frustrated, and had seen some real growth and reduced, like, conflict and tension in their relationship. Now, another example, and this is one that touches on a lot of issues because it deals with family stuff, is a couple that I was talking to fairly recently, and this was just after Mother's Day. And the wife was talking about how on Mother's Day, she wanted them to go and spend time with his mom, with his family. It's actually mom and his stepdad, but not spend all day. She was really hoping that they would just go over in the afternoon and spend maybe an hour or so and then leave, and it wouldn't drag on, because normally it's hard for them to leave. They end up spending way more time there than she wants to. But she never really talked about that or made direct requests about that. And what had happened on Mother's Day was, sure enough, she had made a couple of, like, comments before they went over. "So what time are we going to go over there? Oh, okay. Well, I sure hope that it doesn't drag on all afternoon." And then when they were actually there, she did a lot of stuff like looking at her watch and rolling her eyes and making comments about how much she had to do to get ready for work the next morning. But her husband wouldn't, like, take the hint and leave, so they ended up spending way longer there than she wanted. And she was just fuming and irritated, and of course it didn't go well when they did leave and they got, you know, on their way home. So we talked about what would it be like to be able to make direct requests around that and to talk ahead of time and just say, could we please decide together what time we're going to leave? And then, could you please initiate that? The wife saying to the husband in this case, could you please initiate that? Would you please be willing to make sure that we leave by 4 o'clock? And so let's start wrapping it up and getting ready to go maybe 15 minutes before that. I don't really want to have to do that. I don't want to feel like the bad person. I feel like I'm always the one who, is wanting to leave. So would you please be willing to initiate that? And so he agreed to that and did a sort of an okay job the next time they were over at, you know, his mom's house. And then we talked about it again, and he came back with his own direct requests about, well, instead of 4 o'clock, could we stay till 4:30? And so they went back and forth and did a pretty good job, again, in my presence, of just practicing how to make direct requests with each other. And the real issue is not, what time they, leave the mother-in-law's house, of course. The real issue is, can they communicate well? Can they put into words what they want in a way that's not manipulative, in a way that's not controlling, in a way that's not contemptuous or punishing, just making direct requests? This is a crucial skill in healthy communication. So I would encourage you to think about what this is like for yourself. How do you do this? How directly do you communicate in your family, in your relationships? I know all the examples I've used today have been about in marriage, but with parents, with coworkers even. It can be tricky at work. Definitely with a boss. It's hard to make direct requests, but I do think it's always possible to put into words in a way that represents speaking the truth in love, what we want, and to communicate well in that way. And this leads to life. This leads to more understanding. This leads to handling conflicts in ways that allow for reconciliation and apologies and understanding each other so that we can have the kind of connection and intimacy that we're made for in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships. Making direct requests is a crucial, crucial skill. So think about how you're doing. Think about what it would look like to practice this skill and turn it into a pattern in your own communication style, in your own relationships, in your family. So, as always, Respero is an organization that is dependent on the support, prayers, donations of people who agree and want to be part of our vision and our mission to bring healing and reconciliation and provide opportunities for people to just have somebody to talk to. Respero, we believe that nobody should struggle alone, and it's just part of what it means to be the church, be the followers of Jesus, that we have somebody that we can talk through the struggles in life with. So, tell people that you know, tell your friends about Respero. You can visit our website, respero.org, and find out more about what we're doing. We're going to have our relational care training class coming up in Santa Cruz starting in September. You can sign up for that. Make direct requests. So as always, we finish with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.